Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I just love that song. The singing about the saints in heaven who are before God's throne, which is a good hymn to be singing on All Saints Day as we celebrate all saints. But then we have there are a lot of definitions that we have for what a saint is. A lot of times when we celebrate the saints, we mean the heroes of the faith, like the apostles or St. Paul or the evangelists, those who wrote the gospels, or others, the really special saints. St. Peter boldly confessed Jesus as Lord when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." St. Paul wrote about half the Old Testament by number of books. He traveled extensively, and then he suffered arrest for the sake of Christ. St. Mary accepted God's plan for her life and became the mother of Jesus. St. Joseph obeyed the angel's command and became Jesus' earthly father. All of these saints faced extraordinary circumstances and acted through faith, carrying out God's mission on earth. All of them truly deserve to be called saints. But is that all? Is that really what a saint is? When we talk about saints, are these the only people we mean? Peter and James and Paul and Mary? Sounds like a band. This is a pretty important question for us to ponder, particularly on a day called All Saints Day. So for this All Saints Day, we are going to talk about all saints and what makes one a saint. We're going to start off by looking at what it is that saints experience in this life. And so we start by looking at our first reading where John sees the innumerable crowd of the saints, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb being Jesus, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and praising God. What an incredible sight that is for them. They are clothed in these white robes, white being the color of purity, waving palm branches. And whenever palm branches are mentioned in Scripture, the first thing I think of is that crowd on Palm Sunday who were lining the road as Jesus processed into Jerusalem and shouting out, acclaiming him as the Messiah, the Son, the King, the Son of David. And so here we see a group of saints far larger and from far further away than just the crowd on Palm Sunday, clothed in purity and holiness, waving palm branches, worshiping Jesus as the Messiah. And yet, we have to ask, where did all these saints come from? And that is the question that John has for the elder, or rather, that's the question that the elder has for John. Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? And John knows better than to talk back to the teacher and says, "Sir, you know." And he answers, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have come to this wonderful setting, standing before God in his kingdom, only through struggle and trouble." In other words, they have faced persecution to reach this point. And that is the first thing that we see, is that saints face persecution in this life. And that makes sense. After all, Jesus himself was likewise persecuted. In the Beatitudes, Jesus, in fact, blesses those who face persecution. In our gospel reading, where he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and then, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." The saints face persecution in this world from the forces of this world while they are in this life. And Jesus warns again in John, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The saints are no greater than their master Jesus, and so what Jesus faced in this life, the saints face as well. Many of these saints, in fact, that we point to as great champions of the faith, suffered through significant persecution. The one that wrote two out of three of our readings today, St. John, is that he has several titles that the church gives to him: John the brother of James, John the son of Zebedee, John the divine, because he wrote Revelation, John the evangelist, because he wrote the gospel according to St. John, John the unkillable. No one actually calls him that, but they kind of should. After all, John was poisoned and boiled in oil before finally being exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. He was the only of the apostles to die of natural causes, despite everyone's best efforts to the contrary. Or else there are Peter and Paul, who were both executed within the same year, probably, by the Romans during the persecution under Emperor Nero. Saints face persecution and struggle in this life. But persecution itself, however, does not make one a saint. The elder then continues to tell John that these saints have been washed and purified when he says that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sin is what makes one impure, but it is Christ's blood, it is the Lamb's blood which purifies, which washes away that stain of sin. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. The purification which the saints receive comes from outside, from Jesus' blood, Jesus' purity, washing and making clean. And so the saints are what a saint is: pure. Now, when we speak of purity, oftentimes we have sexual purity in mind. Our thoughts, words, and deeds should be pure and upright in that way. And this is the case whether you are married, whether you are single, divorced, widowed, regardless of your station in life. One's life should be pure. You can return to this purity through repentance, even if you have strayed, and so there is no time when it is too late to live a pure life. But purity is about more than just that sexual purity. It is about all of our life. Thoughts, words, and deeds are pure when they are God-pleasing and in line with God's intention. Peter tells us, too, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. We are to be pure in our thoughts and actions towards one another because of being purified by Christ. Jesus says that in the Beatitudes that it is the pure in heart who will see God. And according to John in his letter, this purity comes from hope. The hope that believers have here is not a wishy-washy hope. It isn't a hope that is fleeting or transient. It is a firm hope that the saints have that purifies, that is sure and certain. And so pure saints have a sure and certain hope in Jesus as their righteousness, as the one who makes them holy. And that is the third thing that makes one a saint, is holiness. The one through line through everything is that saints are, by definition, holy. The Greek word for here, hagioi, or saints, actually translates as holy ones. To be holy in God's eyes means to be blameless and to be sinless. This comes about by the washing away of sin, that purity. This comes about by resisting temptation. This comes about by applying and reading God's word in our daily life. When we think of the saints, we think of the great holiness. Oftentimes we think of the great holiness that they display. The lives of faithfulness of Mary and Joseph, who serve as role models for parents today. I love the stories of the saints of old who resisted the temptation to turn away, but instead stood strong in their faith despite the opposition, despite the persecution. And so then the question comes, how does this holiness come about? It is the way that holiness is the way that God sees the saints, because they have been covered with the robes of Christ's righteousness. So then, to get back to our question, who is a saint? Saints suffer from persecution in this life. They have been purified by the blood of Christ. They are declared to be holy. But who is a saint? When we read through the New Testament, we see that Paul's letters are written to the saints in Ephesus, or to the saints in Corinth, or Philippi, and so on. Is Paul saying that these people have to be perfect and super holy, the superstar Christians? No. Saints do not become saints because they are pure or holy or anything like that. Not on their own. Rather, saints are made holy by Christ. The saints are those who suffer and struggle through life in this world, seeking to remain faithful in the face of Satan's persecution. There are those who have been washed pure in the blood of the Lamb, washed and made clean in the water of baptism, as I told the kids earlier. They are those who have been made holy by God alone through Christ alone. And that's you. So the answer is you. You are a saint. You face or can face persecution in this life from a culture that stands in opposition to God's word, which mocks and derides those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have been purified by Jesus' blood, having been washed and made clean by the waters of holy baptism. You are holy not because of anything that you do, but because of what Jesus has done for you. Because God makes you holy by draping you with the white robes of Christ's righteousness. You are a saint. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.